Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Registering of the house and claiming that you now own the kitchen, because there's 10 people outside that are supporting you. Can you emphasize on that example? What exactly were you talking about? Are you talking about before the khilaf was established and establishing the khilaf? Or were you talking about the khilaf was established and now is an expanding phase?
The question that was asked is about the example in the talk. The question that was asked was about the example in the talk where I said that if someone comes into someone's house and says, this part of the house now belongs to me, and just takes that part of the house. The question was, is that before the khilaf is established, or is that example relevant after the khilaf is established? And the best way to answer that is that in order for the khilafah to be established, when there is no khilafah, when there is no authority for Islam, no ruling for Islam, the authority has to be sought out. And the examples and the evidence for that were discussed in the talk, namely how the Prophet ﷺ received, or he sought the authority from the powerful tribes in Arabia, and how he received it eventually from the Muslims in Medina, as crystallized in the second Bay'ah al-Aqaba, or Bay'at al-Aqaba al-Thani. Now when there is an Islamic State, when there is a Khilafah, part of its foreign policy is to spread Islam through invitation and through the path fi sabilillah. So when the Islamic State, and we see this from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, how it interacts with other states, it sends messengers, or it sends diplomats, or it sends envoys to other states to teach them Islam, to discuss Islam with them. And it gives them three options. One is to become Muslim. Two is to accept the authority of Islam and to pay the jizya. Or three is to proceed in material struggle with that state. Now the differentiation that the Prophet ﷺ gave is if the state, before he had the emissaries go, he would wake in the morning and listen for the adhan of Fajr. So if he heard the adhan of Fajr, he would know that there are Muslims there. And he would invite them to join the dar, or the abode, or the home, or the establishment, the Darul Ansar al-Muhajireen, or Darul Muhajireen, the home of the Muhajireen, which means Darul Islam. So when the Khilafah is established, it will expand naturally by inviting other nations and other states. If the states or the nations have no Muslims, it'll treat them a certain way. If the state has Muslims, it will tell them to come and join the main authority, or the main abode, or the main dar of Islam, as the Prophet ﷺ indicated in the hadith, and that's how they would become part of it. And he indicated in the hadith that when they come to the dar of Islam, they enjoy the rights or the privileges, and they have the duties of the Ansar and the Muhajireen. So inshallah, that answers the question. And how the Khilafah has to be established by seeking the authority from those who can give the authority. Once the Khilafah is established, there's a different set of hukum, of ahkam, for how it spreads and how it expands.
Part A is exactly what conditions, according to the Shara, does the Khilafah, what must it satisfy? B, how does whatever ISIS has declared in Iraq, how does it not satisfy these conditions? And three, which actually goes back to C, is that how do we Muslims, how do we determine when we know this is a bad Khilafah? When the analysis is made, how do we know this is a bad statement?
So the question was to clarify what makes a Khilafah, what are the things that make a Khilafah legitimate or make a Khilafah valid. And then the second part of the question was, how do we know that ISIS or Daesh or ISIS, you know, Islamic State, doesn't fulfill those criteria or those requirements, and how would we know clearly when a Khilafah has been established? So very clearly, number one, the requirements of the Khilafah, like I said, there are two requirements, very basic requirements. The sovereignty or the ruling has to be for Islam, and the authority has to be, or the security, the sultan, the aman, has to be from the Muslims, okay? But there's details to that. So the Khalifa, there's six qualifications that are fard, that are the undeniable qualifications of a Khalifa. Has to be Muslim, has to be male, has to be adil, which means he's just, has to be free, has to be baligh, has to be like at the age of maturity and sane. And there's another qualification. But again, there's clear qualifications of when the bay'ah is given to a man, he has to fill those certain criteria and qualifications for him to be a legitimate Khalifa. In addition to that, the state, when you look at the Prophet ﷺ, is structured in a certain way. So there's a Majlis al-Ummah, or Majlis al-Shura, if you want to call it. There is a court system. There is a financial system, or a system that collects the revenues. And this is from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. He sent people to collect the fruits and collect the revenues of the different provinces and different governors or states, wilayat of the Islamic State. So there's different categories and different details to what satisfies the, or what are the conditions that must be satisfied for a Khilafah to be established. But again, the two general high-level ones is the ruling for Islam and everything that that entails, and the authority for the Muslims, the sultan, the aman for the Muslims. Now, as far as ISIS, what we can say is that they haven't fulfilled the condition. Clearly what we can say, we're not on the ground to see how they're implementing Islam, what they're implementing, what their structure is, how they have, if they have a court system that's in line with the court of the Prophet ﷺ, if they have the mu'aween or the helpers, if they have a madrasa shura. Well, we don't know all of that. What we do know is that they haven't received the authority. They haven't received the complete and the full authority from those who can give it. So that is a very critical and a very major part of what differentiates the true Khilafah. So again, ISIS, we don't know what they're doing on the ground. Allah only knows. But we can say from the outset, just from looking at the Zahir, you know, just the outside of it, that they haven't fulfilled the criteria of seeking the authority from the Muslims. Now, as far as how the Muslims will know when the Khilafah is truly established, inshallah that happens in our lifetime. And inshallah that's something that's going to send waves throughout the world, where the Muslims and the non-Muslims will be able to tell that this thing is real. But again, it shouldn't be an emotional declaration. It shouldn't be something that we emotionally get excited about, and because of that, we declare a Khilafah. No, it has to meet the criteria that Islam has set out, the hukum shari criteria for what is a legitimate, what is an authoritative khilafah.
When Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established his deen, like he mentioned already, he wanted to have 70 tribes, ask them the power. Imagine we have 52 countries, we have army, we have resources, we have man, we have everything in our life, mashallah. Means the power we have, more than 20 million army in the Muslim country, we ask them to give us the power, which is there, to establish the Khilafah. You know, the Khilafah, when he said Khilafah, means he mentioned two things. He said the security have to be in the hand of the Muslims. The hukm have to be Islam. So now, is this now in Iraq, the security is in the hand of the Muslim? Just to, you know, look at the security. Chaos. So do you want to establish the Khilafah like this? I mean, the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he asked the power in Taif, they give the condition. He rejected, and he has Medina. In Medina, they give him the bay'ah. And they just know this contract is valid. So it means that when we give them the bay'ah, when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they give him the bay'ah, they have power to protect him, to deliver the message. So now, tell me, my brothers. This now is the Iraq establishing, you remember the history we have, Sudan established Islamic State, and then Iran established Islamic State, that's Islamic State, that's Islamic State, all the faith. Do we have any one going to be part of the faith? Or the one is the Khilafah? Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the Hadith, summa takun khilafatun ala man ajalluha. It's not faith. It's not even just you want to migrate to something, I want Islam, so I have to jump something, no. This is idea, this is iman, this is the aqidah, it's from the aqidah. So means we understand Islam, it has to be powerful Islam. When he says, establish the Khilafah, my brother, Allah is not going to be like the news. The world will be shaking. The Khilafah, what is the Khilafah? We're not working for that. If it was like, you know, giving bay'ah, jump, long time ago, we're going to, you know, I give someone bay'ah to be free. But no. You have to struggle, inshallah. The Khilafah is coming, my brother. We are not going to look right there, straight, but the Hina Surah comes from the Hina Surah.
So, it's more of a comment than a question. Just to add what you have said about the conditions that makes a state an Islamic state, there are four conditions, and all of them they were delivered from the Adin al-Sharia, the Quran and Sunnah. And we talk about these, I just need to repeat them in words. The first one, As-Sultan al-Umma. The first one is As-Siyar al-Shar. Means sovereignty belongs to the Shar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means the one that rules is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not any other Sharia except the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second condition is As-Sultanu lil-Ummah. Means the authority belongs to the Ummah. It means that the Ummah willingly, without any oppression, without any suppression, the Ummah has to come and tell you that I want you to be my Khalifa, to rule me by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the second condition. The third condition is the Ummah at one time, must have only one and only one Khalifa who has been chosen by the Ummah. And the fourth condition is that this Khalifa is the only one who has the right to adopt the rules from the divine sources of Islam. Without these four conditions, no matter names they give themselves, no matter description they give themselves, that is not considered an Islamic state, that not is considered as a Khilafah. The second comment I would like to make, which is why at this time they bring this declaration, in which we were waiting for this declaration that will shake the earth, that will shake the mountain, that will shake everything. That the sea levels come back. Now they come and say Khilafah is dead, as any normal news. They are doing that for one reason, because the Ummah nowadays is demanding Khilafah and the true Khilafah. So they want to deceive the people and play the game of you want Khilafah, here's the Khilafah. Here's the Khilafah, it's been declared for one reason only, which is what? To deceive and to deviate the people from the right path of understanding and knowing Khilafah. And we would like to remind ourselves that Allah 15 years ago, 20 years ago, the talk about Khilafah was a hypothetical talk. When you hear people talk about Khilafah, they say you are dreaming. But now, since the last 3 years, the talk about Khilafah is everywhere. The hadith of Rasulullah, it became very famous hadith, and everybody in the manazil, everywhere they talk about this. And since the Ummah is demanding Khilafah, and the West, they are scared that the Ummah one time will come and bring Khilafah back, okay, let's give them faith, I would say, Khilafah. So, this is just, I believe, to deceive the people and to achieve their objective that they have set back in 1990 to divide Iraq into three different states.
No, okay, sorry. Sisters, do you have any questions or any comments to make? Okay, on the other side, do we have any more comments?
No,
So everybody can talk about this, but really it's up to the people of Mosul to establish that government, right? So by them tolerating, okay, they might not have called these people to rule over them, but the fact is that they are ruling over them, right? So the people there, from the report in the news and whatever you hear, seems like they're tolerating. Okay? Now, acceptance and tolerance is all in gray area, but this tolerance can this be interpreted as amana, and then in their istihad, they are valid? Can you address that?
The brother asked a very, very important question. He said, when Mosul fell in June last month, he said that the people welcomed, or they've been tolerating of the new rulers now. The Iraqi central government troops, they left, and now Daesh came and declared that we're in charge of Mosul now. Very good question. So the question is, again, is that legitimate? If they gave their consent to be ruled by Daesh, is this legitimate? Let's look at the situation. Is Daesh really the only one, or is ISIS really only the one that's in power there? Or are they the ones part of a group of others? Some people say even 11 different groups, whether it's, like I said, the Jaysh al-Rijal al-Tariqa al-Naqshbandiya, so the army of the men of the Naqshbandi Tariqa, whether it's the Ba'athis, whether it's the Jaysh al-Islam, whether it's the different Sunni tribes. Daesh themselves didn't take over Mosul by themselves. That was a very important thing to consider. Daesh didn't take it over by themselves. So they themselves don't have authority over even that piece of land. Okay, that's number one. Because the Sunni tribes themselves, even if you look at the Al-Arabiya interview with Sheikh Ali Hatim al-Suleiman, he himself said, that's not our concern right now. Daesh isn't our problem right now. Our problem is Nuri al-Maliki's government. That's what we're going to deal with now. When we're done dealing with that, we'll deal with the Daesh tribes. So to say that they have authority in even Mosul is a stretch. The reality on the ground doesn't prove that. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Mosul is a city. The question is Mosul a state? Can Mosul as itself, can it defend itself? Can these tribes, let's even say Daesh is in charge of Mosul by themselves, can they even defend themselves? Or are they just, like I said, a disputed little piece of land that's still fighting for legitimacy that's not even recognized as being legitimate? That's a very good question. To the other points that the brothers made, let's make a very clear distinction. Anyone who brings the Khilafah, regardless of what group I work with, regardless of what group you work with, anyone who brings a Khilafah, a true Khilafah, a sincere Khilafah, a Khilafah that fulfills and meets the criteria that Islam has set, they should be given the bay'ah. They should be supported. Regardless of what your allegiances are, regardless of what your affiliations are, you should give the bay'ah. But we can't be deceived. And this is not an emotional thing. This isn't something that someone just says that we should run and we should believe it automatically. We have to look at it clearly. We have to look at it concisely and in a sober frame of mind and say, does this meet the criteria that Islam has set? It's not an emotional thing.
Okay, are there any other questions? Comments? Comments?
This is more like a comment because I'm from Sri Lanka. I just want to be clear. This Khilafah is more damaging too because recently, even in Sri Lanka, all the brothers on the internet, they're saying that this Khalifa is challenging India, Sri Lanka, and they are about to take over and they rebuild the map of Sri Lanka, including Khilafah. So, we living in a majority Buddhist country, we already, like, you know, you may have read in the article last month, we had, like, you know, the Muslim, migrated with torch, like, you know, 100 of folks were torched. They were trying to get into Burma style execution for hardline Buddhists. So, even this message is taking it as of now, they're trying to take over our country. So, this is not more helping the Muslims, this is more damaging. People who live like in India and Sri Lanka. Is that okay?
Sorry.
Assalamu
alaikum. Apparently, Jabhat al-Nusra yesterday declared an emirate somewhere in Syria and they were forced by ISIS. How do you think this would affect the Islamic State? And why would that be of benefit to ISIS to force them to declare an emirate? It's probably out of context, but if you don't have to answer it, that's fine.
Now, if there's news of another group declaring an emirate or declaring that they have control of a certain land, again, we have to evaluate that piece of news in the context of the Quran and the Sunnah. And the hadith is very clear that whenever you have given your bay'ah or given your allegiance to a man and someone else comes to challenge it, you strike that person's neck. So this is clearly in the hadith. This is the effect of the meaning, of the translation of the meaning of the hadith. Where once the Muslims were united and given bay'ah to one Khalifa, one leader, one Amir, if anyone else comes up and declares themselves to come to challenge their authority, they have to be fought. They have to be taken out. So this news that came from Jabhat al-Nusra, I can't verify it, I can't confirm, I can't deny the news. What I can say is that when we look at the reality on the ground, for the past 6 months, for the past 7 months, there's been infighting between these groups, especially in Syria. And the claims that have been made is that when Jabhat or one of the other groups liberates a city from the army of Bashar al-Assad, in the past 6 months, the past 7 months, Daesh has been coming and the claim has been made that they're liberating liberated land. So there's been skirmishes and there's been struggles between even people who are supposedly supposed to be fighting on the same side. So this news that might have come out yesterday, I can't comment on it, but all I can say is that we have to be very careful that this just might be, again, a power struggle between two groups, not between two states. Because if the Khilafah has been declared and it was valid, then anyone else that comes up with a piece of news saying that we announced that we're this and we're that, they're causing the division and the separation of the Muslims. But the problem right now is we might even see more of this. We might even see more groups spring up saying, oh no, we're the Khilafah. No, we're the Khilafah. No, we're the Khilafah. Because now the precedent has been set. And like the brother mentioned earlier, the danger of all of this is that it could tarnish and it could sully and it could muddy the image of the Khilafah. And it could take the Muslims who are yearning for it and hoping for it and deflate their emotions so that they say, wow, is this the Khilafah we're talking about? It's not any better than the situation that we had before. So we have to be very, very aware, and we have to be very, very critical with the news and look at it from this Islamic perspective. So I can't comment on what Jalha has done, but I know that the skirmishes between the two groups and the multitude of groups, especially in Syria, is not new and has been going on. And it actually wouldn't be surprising if we keep seeing this type of thing.
Can you elaborate on how this announcement helps or helps in dividing Iraq?
The question was how this announcement of the Islamic State helps to divide or serves the purpose of dividing Iraq. And what we'll say is this. The plan to divide Iraq is not a new plan. This plan has been going on for 20, 30 years, since the 90s, to divide Iraq. Even when you look at how the no-fly zone was implemented by the United States and the West, when Saddam Hussein was in power, it cut off the Kurds in the north and the Shiites in the south and the Sunnis in the middle, the central part of the region. So the plan of dividing Iraq is not new, it's not a surprise, it's something that's been talked about officially, unofficially, for a long time. Now, when Mosul was taken by this alliance of fighters in the middle of June, that was the seeds, that was when we could look and say, yes, this is going to be used to divide Iraq. Because now we know Iran is coming into the picture and they're trying to support the Maliki government. We know that the Kurds all of a sudden are saying that, yeah, we want our own state, and there's already been talks about that. We know that the killing, this is a very important point, the killing and the comments that have been coming out about the desecration of the Shia Masajid or the killing of the Shia, who else would talk like this except for someone who wants to cause division? Even if you have a disagreement with another madhhab, even if you have a disagreement with another group, even if you have a disagreement with another faction of Muslims, you don't say we're going to go kill them, we're going to go fight them. All of this falls into the American plan for the region. The American plan for the region is to cut up Iraq along the sectarian lines of the Kurds, of the Sunnis, of the Shiites. Anyone who's going and towing that line, we have to stop and we have to say, wait a minute, what are you trying to do here? What are you trying to do here? We know how Iran, here's the thing, Iran was the bad guy. For the longest time, Iran is the bad guy, but look what's happening. Iran is now looking like the good guy. Now who's the new bad guy? ISIS. ISIS is the bad guy. We need to cut them off. We need to strangle them off. The Kurds in the north, they've already told John Kerry, they've already announced that we want the US Secretary of State, John Kerry, that we want to set up our own government. So how this announcement falls into the separation of Iraq, this announcement by itself doesn't mean that Iraq is gonna get cut up. You have to look at the plan and what's been happening for the past 10, 20, 30 years and how this news is further creating more tension, further creating more hatred, further creating more fear between the people, so that the separation becomes very easy to do, so that it builds a public opinion, so people say themselves, maybe we're better off cut up. And this is exactly what the plan is for the region.
Sorry, just one more very short comment. one of the brothers was saying that he thinks or he feels that maybe this is more damaging, you know, this accident. And in my opinion, I know very little, that yeah, it's true that they're trying to make it more damaging by saying that it's Khilafah and showing all the bad images and look at this is what the Khilafah state is. But in my opinion, no, I think inshallah something that's very good is that people are becoming more intellectual. And if you notice all over Facebook now that people are asking, Muslimin, are asking, oh, is this the real Khilafah we're asking about? And they're trying to dissect what is the Khilafah state, what are the conditions of the Khilafah state, and their talks are very more intellectual and a lot better than before in the past 2-3 years, you know, so that's something very good. And also even the non-Muslim are coming and they're turning their attention towards what is this Islam, you know. So it's true, you know, so we shouldn't lose any hope, you know. And in the end, even if it is more damaging now, we have to remember that so that's going to come either way. And we're going to be accountable for our work to make these people more aware of the situation and what the Khilafah truly is. And we're going to be accountable for our doubt. So that's what it is. So let's not lose hope or anything, inshallah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a clear hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. Wonderful is the affair of the Muslim, of the mu'min. Wonderful is the affair of the mu'min. When something bad happens to him, he's patient and he's rewarded for it. When something good happens to him, he's thankful and he's rewarded for it. So we as Muslims, like the brother said, this is something that happened, but this is an opportunity for us to further engage the ummah. But it's all good, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.